Since the start of the fossil fuel era, human combustion of fossil fuels and clearing of forests has increased the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere from 280 parts per million to 380 parts per million today. The Keeling curve shows the upward trend of CO2 concentrations in the past four decades as a result of fossil fuel use and deforestation. Starting more than 40 years ago, the scientist Ralph Keeling has made a wonderful contribution to our knowledge by measuring the concentration of CO2 in the air above the Hawaiian mountain of Mauna Loa. The idea was to find a remote place where local industry wouldn't distort the global measurements. The Keeling curve is remarkable because it records the annual up and down cycles of carbon dioxide as well as the long-term upward trend. The annual up and down cycle has been called the breathing of the Earth. Each spring in the northern hemisphere, where most of the Earth's land mass and trees are located, the forests and other land plants increase in mass by absorbing carbon dioxide from the air in the process of photosynthesis. During the fall months, in contrast, the dead trees and leaves are decomposed, and carbon dioxide is released back into the atmosphere. In addition to that annual cycle, there is the amazing upward trend as well. The Keeling curve shows that the overall trend in the carbon concentration has been a rise since 1960 from around 315 parts per million to 380 parts per million today. In the pre-industrial era, before 1820, the CO2 concentration was unchanging at 280 parts per million. Along with the increasing CO2 and other greenhouse gases have come higher global temperatures. The meteorological record shows that the Earth has already experienced an average 0.8 degree centigrade, or 1.4 degree Fahrenheit, increase in the average world temperature since 1850. Resulting mainly from the rise in CO2 from 280 parts per million to 380 parts per million. What is not widely realized is that even if there were no further rise in CO2 above today's concentration of 380 parts per million, there would still be a further rise in the Earth's average temperature of around 0.5 degrees centigrade. This is because the oceans have not yet fully warmed in response to today's concentration of 380 parts per million of CO2. Land temperatures increase faster in response to the rise in greenhouse gases, while ocean temperatures increase with a much longer lag, a phenomenon known as thermal inertia. As the oceans warm gradually in response to the CO2 increases that have already occurred, the land will also continue to warm. The warming is not uniform over the planet. Higher latitudes, toward the north and south poles, tend to warm more than at the equator. This is partly because warming leads to greater changes in albedo at high latitudes, for example because of the melting of ice, which then causes the sun's radiation to be absorbed by the Earth's surface to a greater extent. The impacts of climate change. These effects of greenhouse gases are often summarized as global warming, but that is far too simple a description. Changing greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere will change not only temperatures, but also many other aspects of the Earth's chemical, climate, and biological processes. The precise scale of these effects is uncertain, but it is clear that they will operate globally and will affect society deeply, especially if we simply continue on our present course. There are significant uncertainties regarding the scale of effects associated with any particular time path of atmospheric CO2 concentration, especially because of various possible positive feedback effects that could dramatically multiply the initial forcings of human-made emissions. In the first instance, the greenhouse gases will raise land and ocean surface temperatures with innumerable complex effects on other aspects of climate, including rainfall, storms, ocean circulation, wind patterns, and more. These multiple and complex effects have recently been surveyed in two important studies, the Stern Review on Climate Change and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Fourth Assessment Round, and can be summarized as follows. Rising ocean levels. Ocean levels are likely to rise for two reasons. Thermal expansion of seawater as the ocean warms, and melting and disintegration of the great ice sheets of Greenland and Antarctica. Rising ocean levels will submerge coastal areas, lead to higher sea surges during storms, and cause saline infiltration of coastal groundwater aquifers. Some small islands may well be completely submerged. Habitat destruction. Changes in the climate and chemistry of various habitats are likely to provoke large-scale extinctions of vulnerable species with limited habitat ranges or limited mobility in the face of changing climates. Polar bears and alpine species living in the mountains may be the first to go, since they will have no place to escape to as temperatures increase. Detailed studies show that millions of species, large and small, known and unknown, will be threatened with extinction. Increased disease transmission. Many infectious diseases are regulated by climate, including average temperature and precipitation. The climate effects are often complex and often interact. A decline in rainfall, for example, can intensify certain vector-borne diseases by pushing animal species into more limited watering and breeding areas. The geographic range in which diseases are transmitted may be expanded because of higher temperatures. Malaria, for example, is now expanding into highland areas of Africa, where previously the temperatures were too low to enable transmission of the disease.